Welcome to Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Sarah Wells, and Jane got some rough toenail polish on. Faucet.
Jane, not so fancy feet. Faucet.
Shoot. Christian, you're not supposed to let everybody know about my toenail polish.
Well, I'm sorry. I just noticed it.
You chipped really badly this morning.
You like to be called fancy feet.
And I don't like it.
Well, you know, not so fancy today. So fancy.
That was not a self-proclaimed nickname.
I argue it was.
I'm fancy lady, not fancy feet.
Oh, fancy feet was what I... Well, hey, today we have got no Kevin Tinkin in studio, which is a bummer. He's been consistent the last 3 weeks.
But, yes, maybe it'll be 3 weeks on, one off.
See. We'll see what happens. Kay. But we also have a very exciting guest today.
Should we say who it is, or should we let it be a
super
surprise?
Special?
Well, they're gonna see the write up on the website.
Oh yeah, and they've already seen the picture. Okay.
So yeah, this week's guest is Megan Jade, who was a host a very long time ago.
Back in the day.
But Jane replaced her based on skills, not because Megan left. And Megan will be here today. She's back from LA area.
Yeah, Northern LA.
For the next couple days. So she's going to join us. We're just going to catch up with her, chat life, chat some exciting things that's been going on in her life. We will also do a discussion on the Serve Day sermon from this past weekend. And I think we may have all heard different sermons. So it might be,
Sarah didn't hear a sermon at all.
I talked to my roommate last night who did go, just to make sure I knew what was said, and I'm on the same page.
All right, sure.
Yeah, so I feel like I can contribute at least something.
All right, good. Usually you don't ever, so.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
I'm just kidding. Well, and then we also have some music. I've never actually heard of this band.
Really?
You're kidding me.
I'm sorry. I'm out of it. I like boy bands.
They're great. This is a great band.
What's their name again?
Need to Breathe.
Need to Breathe. Christian band?
Yeah. Christian-esque.
Yeah. They can go secular too.
They go either or. Yeah.
Do they not sound like The Fray?
They're better than The Fray to me. The lead guy's voice is way better than The Fray's lead guy voice.
All right. I'll give it to him. Yeah. Dave Johnson said he's heard of them. He's like, oh yeah, I love them. They're great or whatever. Yeah. So, stay tuned for that. And, we'll be back with some sermon discussion.
Shortfalls and little sins. Close calls when no one wins. Stand tall but running thin. I'm wearing thin. Oh, why are we keeping score? 'Cause if you're not laughing, who is laughing now? I've been wondering if we stop.
So you're getting to the heart now of why we do this, Serve Day. Historically, we used to do a day where we'd rally people and do projects, and it was great, and there was a lot of impact. And then we heard people say, man, I can't wait for that to happen again next year. And we were like, oh my God, we've missed it. It's not a once in 365 day thing. This is a 24/7, all the time, letting Jesus have your heart, have your mind, shaped by his word every day, struggling well, winning well, all for him. This is an everyday thing. So we changed the concept from DAY to DEI. So we serve God with our life and everything that we do, and part of our life is coming together because the local church matters, and we're strengthened here. We're encouraged here. We find community unlike any community in the world here. There's accountability, there's repentance, there's encouragement, exhortation, all that. We're strengthened, we worship, we get pumped up, and we go. And we get out there and we live for him, and all that we do, 24/7, it's a lifestyle, not an event. Those were our concepts. We're getting ready to do it again, where we like the best of both those worlds, so we're bringing them together. You're going to hear from your campus pastor about that. But it's a 24/7 thing. It's a reminder every day. I need to know this tomorrow when I wake up. I know love because of what Jesus did. I got to look for needs because God sees me. He sees my need and he fixed it. I got to look for real needs in the world. I don't just need to give somebody a 60-inch TV. It doesn't matter. I don't just need to give them a new car. It doesn't matter. If they need clothes, I'm going to help them out. If they need food, I'm going to help them out. If they need medicine, I'm going to help them out. If they need shelter, I'm going to help them out. I'm going to give of the stuff I have, my life, my time, my talent, my treasure, everything.
All right, that was a clip from Jared's sermon this past week at midweek. And some of you guys probably didn't hear that sermon, but if you noticed, he said clothe.
Yeah, I need clothe.
Which was funny. But if you were at North or Fig or, yeah, just North and Fig, you probably would have heard a different sermon.
You did hear a different
sermon. You did hear a different sermon. So Jane's going to kind of a little bit explain maybe what PJ talked about, because Jared's message really went in that direction. A lot of the things that Scott talked with us about last week, even kind of like a lot of the stuff that we've learned about neighborhood thrift in the past, and, you know, instead of like this being like, you know, you just give stuff or whatever, you live serving God all the time because of what he has done for you. Mm-hmm. And so basically the sermon was an outflow of what has God done for you? Mm-hmm. Therefore, how are you going to give that now mm-hmm. back? Instead of just one time a year or one, I'm going to do one nice thing to somebody. It's like, no, constantly looking for those opportunities to love, constantly looking for those opportunities to serve people all the time. So that was, you know, Jared's message, and maybe it ties in with PJ's message, but what was PJ's message more about?
Same sort of a topic. Okay. He just used, did you say Jared was on 1 John 3?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So PJ went off of Isaiah 58. He did a really great job of, especially the verses 5 through the end are what kind of hit me to think, to really be focusing outwardly instead of inwardly. Mm-hmm. So he just did a great job of encouraging people to focus outward. Don't focus on yourself. Don't do things for yourself. The passage talks about fasting. Don't fast for yourself. It's
right.
I'd rather you do this, this, and this. So yeah, it was great. He did a really great job. I think the part that I really enjoyed was when he talked about verse 12, the end of it. Ashley Brannon loves this verse.
The building of walls.
It says you will be called a repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings, and just that. That I have been thinking about that ever since yesterday, of just like, what does that look like in my life, and how can I be a repairer of broken walls and a restorer of streets? And even thinking like walls are to protect and mm-hmm. dwellings, and like in so many different ways, we can be so many different things mm-hmm. depending on people's needs.
Right.
And just was a good reminder to, we don't live our lives for ourselves. We live our lives to glorify God, and we live our lives to serve other people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And that could be seen in so many different ways, like the repairing walls and streets. Like, it could be physical, like go help them rebuild a fence. Like, because we have projects that are rebuilding fences and rebuilding roofs or whatever. But also, I like when you said walls, it made me think of like emotional like health. Sure. And how to, like, you can be helping someone emotionally to become healthy and become whole. And there's, I mean, spiritually, you can help. So there's like so many different ways that we can be aiding people and rebuilding their walls. And it's just really, yeah, I liked everything you said.
Sure. And, you know, one of the things that I think this is kind of a direction PJ went based off what you just said. But one of the things I just kept thinking was this sense of, we've just got a lot of maybe people in the church, or maybe people even in the faith, of just, they don't necessarily have that concept or that mindset of like, I can constantly be rebuilding. I can constantly be working alongside people or whatever. It's just like, well, I'll only serve because I am supposed to this one mm-hmm. day, you know? And, you know, Lacey and I were talking yesterday was there was this like color run, graffiti run yeah. during church. And there was, this big Christian concert in town.
Yeah, oh, the Rock and Road show or something.
Yeah, and so I just was like, man, this is poor timing for this sermon with all these other things going on in Fresno. Maybe not as many people sign up for Serve Day.
And it's then, daylight savings time.
Daylight savings time. It's like really bad timing, but I'm thinking to myself, we shouldn't have to give a sermon for Serve Day. People should go sign me up wherever I'm there. And yet I think that You know, we'll probably see 1,000 out of the 3,500 people at Serve Day, because it's not a priority or whatever that may be. Maybe mm-hmm. it is a priority, but it's one of those things where I go, it's just, if it's not on my to-do list, then I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
But if we look at it too, and that's one thing we were kind of encouraged to focus on today, of like, even if it is 1,000, we still made a huge impact in Fresno.
Totally.
And I hear what you're saying by we shouldn't be teaching people how to serve.
Right.
But I feel like lives, I'm not trying to give excuses. I think the practical thing of it, like, people are so busy.
Sure.
That they can't, it's not easy for them to think outside of themselves. So I think maybe we do need to teach them how to serve, and maybe we do need to encourage, and maybe we do need to really push on their comfort zones to say, like,
that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying poor timing that they miss a sermon that we're pushing them outside of their comfort zone.
Yeah, but you said we shouldn't have to.
We shouldn't have to.
I know.
When we do it, it's really good.
Totally.
And so I'm like, I was telling Lacey, it's just a bummer that people are missing this mm-hmm.
yeah.
because people need this. People, not only at the Well, but I think Christians across the board, they need this extra push, this mm-hmm. extra oomph, in a sense, because we just get, our schedules are always more important than God. Our yeah. schedules are mm-hmm. always more important than serving other people. Our schedules are always more important than anything to do with Christianity or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I go, that's sad.
Mm-hmm. You make time for things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You totally make time for yeah. things that are important to you. And clearly, the way that I see it from a lot of people is that faith is not as important as other things.
Oh, right. Totally.
Even with students, I think grades are more important than how well
you're... Sports is more important.
Sports is more important.
But that's pushed on a lot by parents.
Yeah.
And totally. When it's being communicated by their parents that absolutely. This is what you do, then that's what they learn to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would think would be great, but it's nearly impossible in student ministries, is you start pushing on that, but then it's pushed opposite on the parents. But you start pushing with the kids, like getting outside their comfort zones. You know, what walls can you put back up? You know, starting to push on even some of the things Jared said in here. It's like, what if it was a lifestyle, you know,
yeah. mm-hmm.
just like sports is a lifestyle, mm-hmm. just like studying is a lifestyle. You know, just like parents who have whatever going on, that becomes their lifestyle. What if serving others was a lifestyle?
Because it's a change of mind. It's a change. Like, you see the world through a different grid, and that has to come. Like, if once people realize it's coming from the inside out and it's not something you put on, you know, mm-hmm. like, it's a change of, the Lord has to change your heart so you can see the world through those eyes. Yeah. And then you'll see, they'll see like, oh, it's not a schedule thing. It's not that I don't have time for it. It's that it's just going to come out of me
yeah.
naturally.
I think, sorry, go ahead.
Nope.
It just reminds me of the anatomy of a disciple and mm-hmm. how our core is to be humbly submitted to Christ. And I feel like when we are humbly submitted to Christ, then our natural next step is to serve mm-hmm. because of what we've been given.
So yeah. let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Do it. Ooh.
I know people hate it when people say that. But
let's see things on the other side of the coin.
Sure. If I'm not humbly submitted, right? And mm-hmm. I would argue, and maybe you guys would argue the same, is you think there's a lot of people at our church that would not be considered humbly submitted.
Yeah.
So sure. if I'm not humbly submitted to God, then my faith and my my outlook on God is pretty shallow then?
I would think so.
So why am I coming to church?
To check the box, maybe? Because that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then if I'm just based on facts in here, you're saying, and I would agree with this, a lot of people at our church just go to church to check the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think that's like we're not dogging on the Well. I think that is a comfortable Christianity in our culture.
Absolutely. Like, I totally agree.
Because I think that problem is everywhere, not just the Well.
Yeah.
And I think we've made it far too comfortable to be a Christian here. Like, mm-hmm. you don't get persecuted for your faith here like they do in other places. Like, mm-hmm. you do in some ways, but it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very comfortable.
I am agreeing with you guys. Yeah. I'm trying to get to that point through devil's advocacy because I'm like, I think it's a huge thing where you know, Jared talks about in his
sermon. What's a huge thing? Sorry.
Just this shallow faith, shallow Christianity. Yeah. And I would argue it's not faith. It's not Christianity. It's simply nothing.
What would you say? Because I've thought about this a lot before. This has nothing to do with Serve Day, but I'm asking your opinion. What would be a good like answer to that? Like how, what would you do? Like say this was your church. Like how would, what would you do to like deepen these people?
I'll get back to that in a second.
Okay.
One thing that Jared, a big point that Jared kept making in his sermon was, because of what Jesus has done inside of you, therefore we now need to take that and give that to other people. And I would argue that if people are unwilling to, you know, the outer rings of the anatomy of a disciple, even some of the inner rings of the anatomy of a disciple, then maybe Jesus has not necessarily done anything at all for them, but they think he has because of, well, I've been going to church my whole life, or I, you know, this is a routine that I have, or whatever that may be. But maybe the reason why they're not willing to get out there and serve other people or be involved in community or some of these, you know, intentional blessing, culturally engaged, all because really they don't, they think they know Jesus, but they really don't. That's a side point.
Sure.
And that was one of the things I really got out of Jared's message, was going, thinking more deeply about it, just going, well, we got to get people in the Jesus part first, because they're never going to get here if they're never, if they don't even have Jesus really.
Oh, over the weekend I was with Megan Jade and we had this really long conversation about, is your goal to simply to act like Jesus and to become more Christ-like, or to know Jesus, and which one comes first, and are they mutually exclusive or whatever? But that kind of reminds me of it. Like you can't act, you won't have a desire to act like Christ if you don't even know him and have a, like a relationship with him, and it won't be genuine.
I do not have an answer to your question. I think that 21st century church, no offense to the well as a whole, but I am not a huge fan of the way that church is done. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what gets people stuck in their bubble, stuck in their box, to check that box. I think simply going on a Sunday for an hour is what a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And we've structured the well in a way that allows people to come and go as they freely please.
And that's how most churches are.
That's how, yeah, a lot of churches. Yeah. But there are, you know, and that's the reality of how churches go, you know, like you've got, we want to equip people and you need people, to build a church, to, you know, have all these different things, student ministries, kids ministries at a church, but maybe church needs to be done entirely differently. Mm-hmm. And maybe, church needs to be filled with people that have the Jesus part down and are now out serving other people. And so church is no longer a building, but it's just a group of people that maybe meet together once a month, but really they're more just out. And so there's no pastor, there's no student ministries, there's no kids ministry. It's just you're living the anatomy, and that is church. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because what the building, all the building does is it creates a bunch of people that check boxes off. You know, I had a conversation with a parent the other day, and not sure if they listen or not, but if they do, I apologize. But it, one of the things that she said on the phone was, my daughter's starting to doubt her faith, starting to doubt Christianity. And I'm on the other line going, oh, that's really good. That's great. Like I'm happy that she's asking the questions. And the mom said, I've never doubted my faith. I just have done what my parents have always told me. And so why would my daughter ever question her faith? Mm-hmm. Like I don't ever question it. And because that's what I've always done. And I go, yeah. So therefore it's not real to you. Your daughter's wanting it to be real to her. That's why she's questioning it. Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing, because hopefully it'll solidify her faith more and more over the years. Mm-hmm. And I just don't feel like people who've been going to church the whole life have ever questioned anything.
Cause it allows you to make a choice. You're making your own.
Yes.
You're going through your own pattern of reasoning to find out, yes, I agree with this. I completely agree.
Whereas a lot of people who've grown up in church their whole life, they've never had that. It's just, this is what I've always done. Of course I go to church. I live in Fresno. Of course I go to church. That's what my family does.
I listened to a sermon by Britt Merrick. Did you listen to that one, Sarah?
Mm-mm.
Britt Merrick.
Oh.
He's a pastor down in Santa Barbara, but his daughter, I think she's since passed away from cancer, and she was younger. But he was saying that she went through her own process of questioning the Lord because of what she was going through, and she shouldn't have been at such a young age. And they took their whole family went to Israel for the medicine there to see if they could cure her.
Cure her of what?
Cancer.
Oh, sorry.
Like a young girl. Yeah. Gotcha. So in that she's like telling her parents, like, I don't know if I believe in God. Like, why would he do this to me? Sort of a thing. And through it, she wrestled with the Lord on her own as a little girl. And mm-hmm. at the end of things, I don't know how long the process was, but said, I know Jesus is real. So for her, like, her dad's a pastor and her mom's a pastor's wife, and that's a family in ministry. And for them to give her the freedom to say, yeah, you need to figure this out.
And I think those are the people that when they understand what Jesus has done for them, the love of Jesus inside of them, those are the people that go, I got to get out there. People have to know what Jesus has done for me personally. Mm-hmm. Not people have to know, you know, what my parents have told me, or people have to know kind of the everything that I've known going to church, but what he has done for me personally, I need to therefore get into my community, get into this world and serve. And through my actions, people hopefully will see that, you know?
Something I kind of want to go back to. I think the Well does a great job connecting people in a different, giving people options to get connected outside of just coming to the Well. So I kind of just want to clear that up. Like, cause you kind of the way you said it, what it could sound like we don't do things.
We do.
Well,
I think the Well, out of all other churches that I've been a part of, does some of the best stuff to push on 21st century church and to get people connected outside of it.
Yeah.
However, statistically at the Well, maybe our percentage is higher, but that maybe it's 40% of people are get it and are not just checking the box. And there's 60% of the people that are just checking the box versus another church is only 20% of the people are involved or whatever. And 80% is just checking the box of church. I'm still saying it's not 100%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's not our responsibility to get it there. It's the work of the Holy Spirit stirring in those lives.
It is not our responsibility.
It's our responsibility to create environments where that can happen.
And I think we do a good job of that. And I think we do a good job of speaking bold truth to get that stirring to happen.
It's just so, it's funny to me how everyone.
I don't hate the Well. I love the Well.
And that's why I wanted to go back so that people didn't think you hate the Well.
Okay.
You're a pastor here, so of course you don't hate the Well.
I love being a part of the Well because I'm allowed to do different things to help cultivate environments that push on people's faith.
Yeah.
And that get them to the spot that Jared was talking about, that get them to that spot. I'm just saying church as a whole, and the Well being a church that meets every single Sunday, has a sermon, has worship, we can sometimes get lumped into that category. Thank God we have so many other things that cultivate an environment where people, it does become real.
Yeah.
I think the Serve Day in the years past, although there's not a huge event that, you know, a big rallying point, the last 2 years of the $5 and the $1 that Scott talked about, I was a huge fan of that. Because people really have to get outside of themselves and they have to start thinking for themselves of what am I going to do in my community? How am I going to use this money to serve other people versus let's be the church and provide you with an opportunity to serve. Mm-hmm. But
and I like then this year's a good
I think
good
this hybrid. Year's a good hybrid of the two, because what it allows people to do that aren't there yet to maybe get them to see, oh, this isn't so hard.
I think though, if we're saying that a lot of people don't have the mindset that they are called to a life of service, if you give them money to go serve somewhere, they're not going to know what to do.
Totally.
So yeah, it does push on people to think, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
But I think how we have it set this year with providing projects, it does give them a way to kind of follow a pattern in a sense.
What I like about this year, though, is that we aren't the ones coming up with all the projects.
It's life mm-hmm. groups.
It's life groups that are mm-hmm. gathering together going, what can we do mm-hmm. versus the church saying, here's 50 projects yeah. for you to do. I think, going back to everything you're saying, so people don't think I hate the well, by just the mere fact that the well does serve day how we do it, goes, we're pushing against the system, and that's sure. good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the system is ultimately broken in a lot of senses. 21st mm-hmm. century Christianity is broken. It's a lot of shallow believers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doing Serve Day how we do it, doing Mission Christmas how we do it, yeah. I think pushes a little bit. Mm-hmm. Even Mission Christmas is getting a little like, oh, I just have to bring a toy, that's it. Mm-hmm. But I think what Neighborhood Thrift is doing is they're pushing on the system, and that's a good thing. People think that all I have to do is just give a gift and it's all,
yeah, you know, all done.
People probably couldn't hear my hands dusting off, but I mean, I like that the well does that.
Yeah.
I'm saying there are still people in this congregation, unfortunately, that are pretty shallow in their
yeah.
faith.
Yeah.
I think it's,
and that bothers me.
But it's sure. not your responsibility to change them.
I know it's not my responsibility, but it really ticks me off because it's like, do you not? Because I know what Jesus has done for me.
But maybe they don't.
I know, and I want them to. But yeah. I don't know how to have the,
so
I don't
maybe,
know how to get them
maybe
to get that.
Saying it ticks you off isn't the right way to say it. Maybe it's that it burdens your heart.
It does. Totally does. I
Jane,
want these people
so
to be
well spoken.
I want these people to be to know deeply what Jesus has done for mm-hmm. them versus on such a shallow level.
Yeah. I feel
beautiful,
the same way.
You guys.
I think too. Oh, sorry. You
Sarah, get out of this conversation.
I keep trying to say something and everybody's talking over me. I just think it's so interesting how different everyone is in like the way that they best connect with God and the way they best grow with God and how different bents and everything, because like I totally agree with like what you're saying, but then there's things that are like, I'm one of those people, I really, really enjoy the corporate body meeting once a week. And I need that. I need a sermon. I need worship. Like, that's really important for me and my relationship with the Lord. And so, like, it's just, it's so interesting. And this is what I really love about the well, is that we are a melting pot of, like, different bents and different characteristics. And there's things that I love about the well that maybe someone else doesn't, and vice versa, you know? So I agree with, like, it's good to push on, especially someone like me. I'm a really hyper sister. Everything has to be a certain way. So the well has made me feel uncomfortable. I can't tell you how many times, because it pushes on things, and it's a good, in a good way. But at the same time, like, I think, I don't know if there's going to be one, and like, there's not going to be a perfect system. There's not going to be a perfect model and to meet everybody's need or to meet everyone where they're at. So I don't know. That's all I had to say was that.
No.
I just think it's fascinating. And I love it. I love that that's how the body of Christ is, that we all represent different parts of the body, mm-hmm. you know, and how like some people are passionate about the hands and serving. And then some people are passionate about the feet and going across like across the world. And some people are passionate about the brain and learning like deep things about the Bible. Like, let's talk about those. And I think it's so great that we all can come together and edify each other in that mm-hmm. and push each other in those ways, you know? Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the parts of the body should be at Serve Day, serving.
Absolutely,
together as one.
Because Serve Day represents everything. Like, there's no excuse not to be serving people. There's just zero. You can't say you're too busy.
Except for I got sports on Sunday.
No, it's not an excuse.
One thing too that's going to be cool is we're in the process of working to, like, if people are volunteering with an organization, we're working to talk with that organization to see how can we continue to partner alongside of you.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
And those things will be listed on the Serve page after Serve Day.
Right. It's been so cool because my job at the well is to get all the Serve projects going. So I'm over life group leader. So they tell me what project they're doing. I put on the up on the website. Mm-hmm. So I know pretty much every single project that's happening. And to see the excitement that these people are doing, like one leader, their group raised $1,800
really?
In and of their group.
That's
because
so cool.
They are providing new windows for the World Impact Community Center. Mm. And so they're redoing windows, they're redoing stairs, they're going to redo the floor. They're doing all this stuff. And they are so excited about it. And it's just so cool. And there's so many others just like that where they're like, oh yeah, we already volunteer at the convalescent home mm-hmm. down the street. We do that once a month. We'll just see if we can do something on Sunday.
And what's so great about that is the well had nothing to do
with
it.
Right.
It's
all we said was, hey, we got this thing coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to provide some t-shirts. Going to have a parking lot, big rally thing.
Yep.
It's on you guys to figure out what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden people go, how do I now take my humble submission and now focus on some of the outer rings of things? And it gets them to start thinking. It gets them to push on them as Christians and to go, what can I do to really push on the system or push on my own faith? And then you get awesome stories like that where mm-hmm. you're like, wow, that's pushing people to think outward and has nothing to do with the church itself.
Mm-hmm. And they're all totally different types of projects. Like there's a lot that are manual labor. And then there's one of our life groups is throwing a kids St. Patrick's Day party, but for all of the whole neighborhood. They're inviting everybody and they're going to have the story, a bunch of things. And
I saw that one.
And they're so excited about it. They made this really elaborate flyer and they're going to go door to door and invite people, but not be like super cheesy Christian. So they're freaked out, but like have really good food and really good crafts. And I don't know. It's just really cool.
Sarah's going to go to that one.
I am. There's going to be cupcakes and stuff. But
I heard about one today and there was a topic in the Welly Deli, but a guy at our church is going to be passing around basically flyers about slumlords and in different areas of Fresno that, you know, people may not know that they have legal rights against their, the landlord of their houses and that, you know, they can do this. They shouldn't have to live like this all the time in these horrible situations. And so they're going to pass flyers out like, hey, if you're ever interested in this, like, and that's like, that's not a normal serve day project. That's a way of going, let me meet some needs here for the future, not just a one day thing, but give me a call and awareness and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think there is a pocket of people, a large pocket of people at the well that are living out what Christ has done inside of them. I think, you know, and Jane, hopefully you now hear my heart more. I want everybody to be like that. I want them to pour that down into their kids and their, and it's like, I want to see this movement of Christianity. And it's just, it's so hard for me to just sit back and go one person at a time.
It wasn't that I didn't hear your heart. I wanted listeners to hear your heart. Yeah, we know your heart. Yeah.
But someone may.
Well, you know, because Brad and Rick listen, so.
Every week.
So I think that's such a huge, I mean, that's just a great, it's not something to ever apologize for. You're like, you know, not getting ticked off, but like the burden you have, like that's, we all should have a burden for people to know what Christ has done in their life in a deep way. Like.
And for them to move in their life.
Yeah. Well, first they have to do number one and then they can continue.
So in summary, I hate the well.
Whatever.
Sarah.
Such a liar.
You know, wasn't so, you know, non-traditional. And
it's good for me, though. I don't wish that it wasn't. I just.
Loves everything about the well. Is that a good summary of our past 20-minute conversation?
I mean, I'm a big fan.
I
still miss Sunday school. I mean, I still,
You're the one who would want us.
No.
Okay.
I like what WANA stands for. I want to teach my children those things, but not in that way. It meets a need for other people. That's true.
I love the well. I am so proud to be a part of this church. I what's the word when you're like?
You're an ambassador.
Not gloat. I tell people about the well and like
brag on it.
I brag about the well, almost too much.
Boast in the well,
because I think it's such a great church. Mm-hmm. So I'm the kind of guy that goes around saying, "Yeah, we cancel service on Halloween. No big deal." You're like, I'm pretty proud of some of the things the well does. So I don't want to sound, but
I
the
love
people that can't when we cancel church on Halloween and they go out and they. Go out and serve their neighborhoods or get to know their neighbors or whatever. I'm all for those people. But then there's the people that just, sweet, no church on Halloween.
That's not
good. Those are the people that I'm like, get it together. Yeah. All right?
I love meeting people and they're like, I hear the well cancels church on Super Bowl. And I'm like, we do.
I'm going to watch football.
And then
Jane's going to watch football.
No, I'm not. I'm going to talk to the people in the kitchen.
All right. Well, our guest is here and we're going to bring in Meg and Jade here in a second. So enjoy some Breathe to Need.
Right. To breathe need.
Stay tuned for Megan. All right, we are back, and listeners, really tune in here because it's three ladies and one guy, and there's going to be a lot of chatting. So Megan Jane in the building.
Hey fans,
you can open both your eyes, Meg.
I wish this was
Let's vine it.
This should be a video podcast because I'm waving to all
maybe
y'all.
For the 100th episode we can do a video podcast.
That'd be so fun. I'll come up.
I had Danny Pernesh ask me yesterday, what are you guys going to do for the 100th? And I was like, I don't know. And
I've had a few people ask me.
They were really curious. So
we ought to do it. We ought to do it in the city.
We ought to do it.
We ought to do it in the city via video camera.
That would be in
what the city being Fresno like or San Francisco.
In the city.
City of Compton. Yeah, we picked the same city. Good job.
All right.
City of Watts.
We keep it rocking.
Megan Jade, for those of you guys who don't know, was one of the second original co-host of the show, along with myself and Sarah. Then Megan decided to leave us for greener pastures. And in my
opinion, they're kind
of dry. That didn't end up to be so green.
And so Megan came on the show a few weeks ago, or probably a few months ago, probably, yeah. And kind of gave us an update. You're in LA, you're creative writing at USC, but some more stuff has happened over the course of 2 months, 3 months. Am I wrong?
She got married.
I got married.
First child on the way.
Pregnant.
To Jesus. That's a thing, right? People say that still.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm married to Jesus.
Now, Megan, what's going on in life with you? How's things?
Well, Christian. No, I'm kidding. That's a weird voice. Well, I a few months ago, actually in January, decided that it was my time to
shine.
Yeah. It was my year of no fear, 2013.
So you've been sporting like 1990s no fear shirts?
Oh, heck yeah.
No fear.
Yeah, Megan's here. Yeah. I don't know, something like that. But anyway, so I decided.
No fear.
You know, what are some things that I want to do in my life that I haven't done yet? And am I going to do them, or am I going to someday be 55 and wish I would have done them? Sorry for all you 55-year-old
listeners.
I'm
thankful you said no fear versus YOLO. I appreciate that.
Oh, that hurts me.
You only luau once.
Excuse me?
You only knew luau once.
Oh, yeah, you do too, because when you see that dead pig rotisserieing on that thing, you never do that again. That.
All right.
Or having to wear that Hawaiian shirt.
So it's the year of no fear.
Year of no fear, 2013, and I decided there's things I needed to do that I will never do again if I don't do them now. Mm-hmm. And one of those was applying or really auditioning to go to an improv school, a pretty well-known improv school in LA, mm-hmm. called The Groundlings. Which is where a few pretty famous people got their starts. Mm-hmm. And I'm not Such sure as. I'm going to be one of them. But
Adam Carolla got a start at the Groundlings.
Kristen Wiig. No, she went to Second City in Chicago.
Kristen Wiig was the Chicago one, right?
No, that was Tina Fey. Okay. Kristen Wiig was Groundlings.
In
Will
LA?
Will Ferrell, yeah, in LA. Will Ferrell, Megan McCarthy, that lady.
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa, thank you, whatever.
Her
name
McCarthy?
Was Megan in Bridesmaids. Oh, well. I didn't see that movie.
I think Jon Favreau went to Groundlings.
A lot of people. Maya Rudolph. Yeah, I think Sherry O'Terry. A lot of people.
Man, poor thing. Terrible name.
She was so good on SNL,
so
and now,
though.
Like, nothing.
Who even cares what her name is? She's funny.
So you are...
Oh, no, maybe it was Rachel Dratch. I'm not
Rachel
sure.
Dratch.
One of them.
So, for those of you guys who don't know what Groundlings is, it's basically an improv comedy club, and the way that it works, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's levels, and you can pass levels of improv, and once you can graduate from the school, essentially,
right?
If you keep passing these levels,
correct.
I'm assuming you're starting at a lower level, or where are you at?
Well, basically, if you're on the performance track, which is the professional acting track,
yes,
you go through, everyone starts at basic.
Yep.
And if you pass on, you move through. It's kind of like, actually, Beth told me this today. It's kind of like karate. You move on when you're ready
belts.
To move on. Yeah, it's like belts. So
it's not like you fail the test and you get kicked out.
Well, that's actually, it does happen.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people
what happens
out.
Is you go to basic and they say, okay, you've graduated onto intermediate, or you need to repeat basic, or we really don't see a future in you.
Yes.
And so, that's sort of like your first class. That'll be the class that I start in April. Mm-hmm. And then basically if I move on to intermediate, then I have to continually advance like per instructor's orders or whatever, you know? So,
and correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a certain point where if you don't advance, they'll just say, we got nothing else for you, in a sense,
right,
of like,
move on.
You got to move on, because right, going back down is going to get you nowhere,
right,
but you cannot move forward either.
Right. You can't go into advanced. So it goes basic, intermediate, advanced. In advanced, you do a lot of writing. Like you write your comedy, you do a lot of that.
Really? Yeah. You'll be so great at that.
Well, thank you. And then basically after that, like let's say you graduate through advanced, then via a vote, you get either voted into the Sunday company, which is the performance on Sunday. And then from there, you get voted into the main company. And if you graduate and you don't get voted into either of those, then you just sort of move on and do whatever and get an agent and try to do like funny commercials or something. I don't know.
If you graduate through the whole program, don't they give you an agent? Isn't that right?
You know, I have no idea, Sarah. That's information I don't know.
I thought you
Who
told
do you
me
know
that.
That's famous, Sarah.
I totally thought you told me that, and I probably
didn't.
Just misunderstood.
I think if you graduate through the program, you probably should get an agent.
I should probably go tell the people that I told that to that I'm wrong.
Yeah, who are you telling all these things to?
Oh, I don't know. So I'm like, Megan's in this thing, and if she graduates, she's going to get an agent.
Yeah, that's not at all what happens. But
well, I was excited.
I
appreciate your excitement.
There's this game that sometimes we'll play on our mission trip. It's basically called the improv game, and you can say, like, pause, and then somebody else comes in. And I know that I'm so terrible at improv because the number one rule in improv is, like, yes and.
Right.
Yes. And
you always say no.
Every time I would play this game with the junior hires or high schoolers, they would be like, Christian, come over to my house. And I'd go, no.
Junior then, hires intimidate you.
I just am so bad at improv. I don't
always
know.
Say yes.
You always say yes.
Oh, you always yes. say yes. Yeah, that's a thing.
Hey, is this your house? No, I'm at a circus. Oh,
exactly.
Guess I got it
but
wrong.
That's really, it's like really intimidating because the things you're saying yes to sometimes are things you don't want to be saying yes to.
Yeah,
you know?
But you
like,
have to.
Man, I don't know where to go with that. And that was like pretty much my audition. We had basically ran it like an improv class. And guys, see, I didn't know ahead of time. Like, I didn't really read into this very much. I just decided, like, I'm going to apply. Yeah. And I'm not going to read anything. It's No Fear 2013. And I'm going to go do this. And it said, like, bring a picture of yourself. Like, and, you know, your resume. Well, most people...
Do you have to bring, like, a headshot?
Well, most people know that as a headshot. Yeah, because it's your picture and a resume. So I show up with 14 other people, and they all have headshots, right? I walk in with a 4x6 picture of myself with my name written in blue ink on the back with my phone number and a printed out resume of, like, different jobs I've held. Not even acting.
Well, they probably like, love that,
I
though.
Had no idea what I was doing. Like, what a moron. I didn't even ask anyone.
Megan brings in a cutout portrait of her face on the Spoutcast t-shirt. It's seriously all I got.
Wait, no, I'm not even kidding you. I printed out an Instagram picture, and you know how like they don't print out in squares, so they're kind of like cut off.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
Well, so I like it's a 4x6 picture of my head sort of cut off.
Well, it shows how much they actually use that then.
Well, I mean, because they really just want to like when they're deciding, they want to remember your face. Well, like, I wanted that girl. So maybe it actually worked to my advantage and they couldn't remember who I was, so they picked me anyway.
It shows you character too. Like, wow, this girl's put Sharpie all over this
I'm just
thing.
Thinking.
Well, and then I wrote on my resume and I said, acting resume available if needed, because I had no idea what I was doing. And I have done some stuff for The Well, like a Rita Lynn, you know? Like
I just am imagining, you know, on like, you know, on The Bachelor where like,
yes,
the
I
Bachelor
do.
Or the Bachelorette, Sean, let's say, is looking at this wall and there's all these like nice photos of all the people on the wall. I just imagine like the Bachelor going through like these photos of all
there's
the women
Megan's
and then there's
Instagram.
A like a small tiny 4x4 photo of Megan's Instagram with her thumbs up.
Yeah.
Taped to the wall or something.
That's almost exactly how it was, Christian. And I was like, except this time Sean was like a goofy man who picked me. You know,
okay.
Like that worked in my favor.
Sean from The Bachelor.
Well, right. Like if Sean was like a goofy dude who wanted me to improv, he would have picked me because I got picked, you know? So
you
like,
know, I gotcha.
Had he seen my 4x4 picture, he would have thought that girl's really funny.
Maybe they
know.
Thought it was all a ruse. A ruse?
Yeah, maybe they did. Right? And they saw my writing and they thought she wrote in pen on top of this resume that's printed. Is she
maybe
like,
she's in character?
Yeah, maybe she's like pretending to be really irresponsible.
Now, Megan, because
you're a method actor.
Yeah, you're real method.
I was totally in character. Yeah.
Now you.
I'm Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, did we talk about this? But the best thing Daniel Day-Lewis said
was that speech.
But
the Academy Awards.
Yes, yeah, so that was a great speech. But my favorite line in his speech was, "He's like, I'm thankful that my wife's had to live with all these different people."
Yeah.
And my first thought was, does like he bring other women home or what's going on? And then I'm like, oh, because he acts like these characters when he's at home all the time.
That's funny. You know, it took me a minute to get it too. Yeah. And actually, you know, I was pretty disappointed in what, and this has nothing to do with the Academy Awards, actually, this conversation, but I was really disappointed in everyone's speech except for his.
Loved his speech.
He was so wonderful.
What about Ben Affleck's?
Oh, that's okay. Affleck. He was just talking so fast. He was kind of nervous.
It was, I thought it was endearing.
I think what he said about being like really young and coming into Hollywood, I thought that was beautiful, but I thought Daniel Day-Lewis's delivery was perfect.
It was really cool.
I thought, and I was really disappointed by Anne Hathaway and Jennifer Lawrence because I thought, you people are like well-spoken actresses normally and you act in front of thousands of people and you can't stand and say, thank you so much for giving me this award. Like, honestly, that's that hard.
I will say Jennifer Lawrence's you guys are all just clapping because you feel bad for me.
But that was
at least funny and a good recovery.
But the thing is, like, she makes these weird jokes during her speeches that I don't really think are that funny.
I think someone's just jealous. She was on Saturday Night Live, and so was Anne Hathaway. So,
well, yeah,
but Anne Hathaway looked really ridiculous that night.
Well, whatever. I mean, I want to get back to you, Megan.
I want to get back to you.
I feel like I work for People Magazine. Thank you. Or Us Weekly.
What else is no fear for you in 2013? What else on the horizon for Megan Jade?
No fear 2013. Well, you know, Christian, first things first is I'm starting improv in April. Kay. Second thing, is this really happening right now? Like, what? Am I going through like all these no fear things?
Well, I just want to know what else. Are you going to be a vegetarian?
Actually, I gave up dairy.
Okay.
I'm not doing that anymore right now.
You ate some cheesecake.
I gave up dairy for January and most of February. Okay. And then I just recently sort of decided like to like kind of do what I wanted when I wanted to.
Wow.
So, but I still don't, I don't eat butter and I don't drink milk. Okay.
Crust.
Yeah.
Oops. You gonna just date like crazy? What's on the horizon?
All right, I see what's happening here, Sarah Wells. Thank you.
I didn't do anything. What?
Sarah never said anything to me.
What do you have to say?
I'm genuinely interested in you, Megan.
Well, that's you just threw yourself under the bus.
Oh gosh,
Megan, I find you to be a rather interesting person.
Well, I appreciate in general, that about you.
And so I'm genuinely curious. What's on the no fear list?
Okay. Well, you know? I joined an online dating site.
Okay.
Okay, which is worst thing I've ever done in my life because I am like not the kind of person who does things like that. Okay. Like I just am very much like a organic sort of person. Like I appreciate like depth and friendships and I don't like small talk and I'm like not the kind of person who's going to sit around and ask you about your cat. No offense, I love your cat, Christian, but that's because I know you.
I don't think I've ever met my cat.
Well, I haven't, but I love them because I know you and okay. I love you. But like seriously, I'm not going to sit around and like I just don't have that in me. Like I don't have that ability to go to coffee with 400 people and like ask them about their lives.
I've taught Megan how to have small talk before.
Yeah, we've actually had conversations on trips where I've had to say like, Sarah, what happens when this person says this to me?
You know why I think you have a hard time having small talk?
Why?
Because you're an intense person.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
No, that's not a bad thing.
No.
But when a lot of people want to have just a simple, like, hey, what's going on?
Right. And I'm like, well, what are you like?
What are your political views on homosexual marriage?
You're going to get a little bit more into, you're just going to hit it right off the bat.
Right, and that's
not a bad thing, but that is, it's good for you to recognize.
Yeah, it is very much so.
I didn't mean that as a bad thing.
No, that's okay.
Intense is good.
No, that's great. I think that I appreciate what you said because you're right. Like, I don't do that well. I don't do surfacey things well. I want to know what people think about things because I appreciate when people want to know how I think. And so that's how I think that I'm supposed to like interact with people in life is always ask them what they think. And sometimes people are like, that's a little too much, you know? So, I'm not great at texting because like you can't really have conversations like that via text.
You either are like really like deep and intense or super witty. And so the texting comes with the super witty stuff.
Right. I'm just like really schizophrenic. So I've got that going.
So you joined this online dating site.
So I joined online dating. I did OkCupid because it's free. And because I thought I'm not paying for this, you know, like, I mean, maybe someday I will if I'm like really looking for a winner or whatever. But like I wasn't at this point, I guess. But like, here's what happened. My friends from LA, two of them, one of the guys, Greg, I grew up with, he met his fiance on OkCupid. And they're like, you have to do it. It's so awesome, whatever. And then I met up with a friend of mine from high school, and her name's Lauren, and she said, oh, Megan, you have to do it. I'm doing it. I go on dates. I dated this guy for 6 months, whatever. But I'm thinking in terms of like, oh, they're just like me. You know, of course, gotcha, I can do this. They're just like me. But like, I've realized I'm so sensitive. I don't have the ability to be rejected multiple times by men. Like, I don't do that. I've had like one or two boyfriends in my whole life and like don't date. So like, this is like a really big deal for me. And so like, I have some kind of funny stories.
Why do you like rejection?
I don't know.
Who does, Christian?
I mean,
why do you have such a hard time with it, though?
You know what's so funny about this, though, is people have told me, like, especially guys who, like, I don't know, are very different about this whole thing. They think like, well, why aren't you like going out with multiple guys at once and figuring out which one you like? That's what people do on there. And I'm like, I can barely focus on one person. Like, sure. I need to know that person and need to know why I'm dating them, if I'm dating them, why I want to, what they believe, blah, 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 blah. Can you imagine doing that with multiple people and having to decide?
Won't be on The Bachelorette.
No, I will never be on The Bachelor. It's very difficult for me. I feel like on the other end of that, I'm a dog at a pet store and like my owners are coming by like, well, you're cute, but like, I don't know if I want that type of dog, you know? And I feel like I'm just in this cage of like, people are staring at me trying to figure out if I'm cute enough. I hate it.
Hey, let's rewind the tapes for 1 second. And I think this might make you feel good. Okay.
Okay.
There's a chance. He thinks.
You talk about rejection and you don't want to be the puppy in the puppy store that everybody else is looking at all the other puppies going,
and
oh,
walking
look at all
away
these
from.
Yeah. Okay. However, you presented yourself as bare minimum as the little 4x4 inch picture on Instagram to a very well-known, and in my opinion, like I have studied the Groundlings because I, you know, Tina Fey talks a lot about Second Space or Second City in, her book, and then you, all these other comedians, they don't accept anybody. They're very picky. And you basically said, I'm going to give you the bare minimum of who I am. I'm going to write in blue pen. I'm going to put a small picture. And what do? They pick you. Okay. So you gave that, you were the little puppy in the corner, and somebody said, I want that puppy. You know what I mean?
Right. But so, like, the difference is, go ahead. Okay.
So in life, currently in No Fear 2013, you are not being rejected.
Thus far.
So yes. You've got nothing to lose at this point.
Well, I mean, and that's a really interesting perspective because people always say you have nothing to lose. But like, I have my tears to lose. Okay. Okay. I do. And here's the thing is I agree with that. I can get rejected by, had I gotten rejected by Groundlings, that would have been rough, but I would have gotten over it because Groundlings isn't trying to get to know me intimately, you know, in like, a heart sense. Like, they're not trying to know what I think about things. All they want me to do is put on a weird face and like say a few lines, which I'm really good at, you know, like, yes, and blah, 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 you know, whatever. But like, this person who's like trying to date me wants to know where I went to school and what I think about this and why I think this and where I went here and what I did this and blah, 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 blah. And most of those people, it's like when you first meet people and they want to know all of these like accolades and accomplishments and whatever. And I'm just so not that way. Like, I couldn't care less about that stuff. And so I just feel what I want to know is like, I don't care what that certificate says. I want to know what you actually think about those things, you know? And I think that people have a hard time with that. And therefore I have a hard time trusting or getting it or like figuring out these conversations or like waiting for them. Like, I just want to know someone. I don't want the beginning stage of this. And so this is hard for me. And my friend said the other night, he was like, I don't get it. Like, you don't even know this person. Why do you feel rejected by him if he doesn't talk to you anymore? And it was like, because, I mean, it doesn't matter even how much I tell of myself to someone. Even if I told like 5 minutes of my story, that's rejection. You know, because I'm not a surfacey person. So any conversation that I'm having with this person is like part of me. Yeah. So then when he rejects me, he's rejecting me. You know, and I know that's like so crazy because that sounds like so deep, but that's just how I operate.
So then wouldn't the world of online dating maybe not
be the right thing for me?
Because yes. reality is that there's eyeballs that are just grazing your profile
are rejecting you. I get 60 views a week and nobody writes me. And I'm like, maybe I should change this. No, I know that full well. But I have come to the conclusion that like the person, I'm actually talking to a person right now.
Oh, wow.
And if I stop talking
to him. What if he listens?
Well, that'd be awful.
No, if he listens, he'd be like, Okay. I need to be
no,
more
then he's
going to
know I'm talking to no one else and I'm doing this all
well,
wrong.
Or he knows you just like went through all your small talk stuff, so now he can get deep.
Yeah. Oh.
You're like, hey,
actually,
I'll date you, but listen
date,
to though, this podcast.
Seriously, on our first date, like I brought up the weirdest conversations and I realized after the fact, like, I don't think people do that, but whatever.
What's he like? I'm so curious.
Well, anyways, hold on a second.
Girl talk so, tomorrow.
Okay. So this is what happened with this person. I'm talking to him right now and I've decided like, since talking to him, I don't want to do this online dating thing anymore. Like, I can't keep doing this. Like, no fear, 2013, awesome. I've tried it. I've gone on, like, I went out with another guy. It didn't work out. Now I'm on to him. And if it doesn't work out, like, I just sort of feel like I'm not going to keep doing this, you know? I've
sure.
tried it. I've been good, whatever. But I'm terrified to delete my account now while I'm talking to him because I feel like that sends the message of, I've decided on you.
Oh.
And then he's going to think, what crazy girl.
No.
Deletes her account while she's dating me once.
I think you're right. You got to keep it because
he'll know.
Well, no, you don't want to send the wrong message or anything like that. But keep it going with him for a while, and if it continues to work out, then you communicate to him, "Hey, I'm thinking about deleting my account. It means nothing here. I really want to pursue this right now." Versus, you know, all these other things.
Maybe you could make that phone call for me because I'm not sure I'll do it.
Hey, it's no fear 2013.
Right. But I think that I need to say that more loosely because I still have some fears. So.
Yeah, but it's no fear.
Right. You're right. Okay.
I think that conversation, if I was a guy, I would feel special. If I was a guy and you said, hey, the other people are trying to talk to me and stuff. It's just a lot right now. I really want to focus on this. I might get jump back on, but I want to give this a full shot.
Okay.
Eventually. Don't have the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not going to do that tomorrow.
Okay,
no,
good.
No. Keep it for
wait,
five,
who's
six,
that
seven
crazy
dates.
Girl?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Until somewhat of an exclusive thing.
We've been talking for a few weeks and we're only like on our second date like next week. So.
Is he into O-Town?
You know what, Christian? I hope to God he isn't. But I also kind of hope he is.
Secretly? Yeah, what happens if secretly he's like...
His favorite singer is Ashley blah, 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 whatever his
Angel.
Name is.
Parker Angel.
I could see you like ending APA. Up with someone with like a weird thing like that because like as much as you despise all that stuff, like once you love the person,
it's
you just
totally
don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean like Fast Five is a deal breaker for me, but...
Well, yeah.
What about Fast Six?
Which means that they probably should learn a little bit more about good film. I knew
oh,
it.
Oh, great.
Or maybe they just love
Christian.
Prom. Disney, you've really done it again.
This is literally 2 years later. Let's drop the prom.
We talked about this last week.
There are things we just have to keep going, Christian. Hey, guys, like, there's a really good movie on Friday night that's coming out, and it's called Prom. Silence.
Yeah. That's me. Is that how I sound?
I guess. That's a terrible impression. I'm not good at impressions yet. I need to work on
that. Okay,
you
got to work on those impressions. Yeah. Now, do you have any, have any, like, you know, if SNL auditions, people come up and they do a few bits that are their bits. What's like your bit? What's your thing?
I think my bit, I mean, I actually haven't really thought beyond this. I've never actually performed this for anyone unless like you're my friend and I'm telling you about my crazy mom. But I think my bit is my mom. And
okay.
I hope, gosh, she'll never listen. She doesn't even know how to work a podcast.
Right. And the Jewish mother. There's
right, the
too.
Jewish mother. I do a good Jewish mother, you know.
What's the mom?
The mom. Okay, so I just like repeat conversations my mom has had with me in life.
Okay.
And they're pretty brutal sometimes, like in a funny, like, ooh, that's not funny if I was 13 sort of way.
Sure.
Right. So like my mom will say things like, I mean, remember one time we were in Hawaii and we were walking down the beach. And of course in Hawaii, there's like all these beautiful women everywhere and whatever. And like sometimes, you know, you go, your weight fluctuates and you don't feel super awesome. And I've never been like a really small person. And so I remember walking on the beach with my mom and I was like wearing pants and like a sweatshirt or something. I was like, Mom, I just feel really fat right now. And I think I was even crying a little bit. Like, I just don't feel pretty and whatever. And my mom, in like her ridiculous way, she goes, well, honey, you just have a really good heart. Thanks, Mom. Thank you.
And then right after she tells you your hair.
And then I'm like, she looks at me and she's like, you know, Megan, I just think you look so much better as a blonde. Like, I mean, you do all these funky things. Like, let's never cut your hair short again because you looked gay. But your hair just looks much better as a blonde. It's like your face is brighter. And I was like, okay, thanks, Mom. Like,
so she's it's
unwarranted, like unwelcomed comment. Like, well,
but it's to her, it's a compliment.
Well, who knows what she's thinking? Because we'll be standing in the mirror. I remember one time we're getting ready, and she goes, "I just have a smaller face than you. Like, my bones are just like, I just have smaller bones. Like, look at my wrists. Look at them. Look at them. They're just smaller." I'm like, "I have tiny wrists. Like, I have small wrists." She's like, "But you're just bigger boned than me. Like, look at our faces. See our jawline."
But she's complimenting herself in that moment.
Oh, duh.
But to her, she's not saying anything's wrong with you.
Well, right. But like, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay.
But that's what I love about it.
This is the best one. This is literally, I could probably win every award in the world with this. One time I told my mom I was going to be in Maine in a wedding, and I was flying out to Maine and I was going to be in this wedding. And she sends me an email that I proceeded to post on Facebook because it was that insane. And she wrote me and said, "Megan, I just feel like maybe, I mean, you've been in a lot of weddings lately, and maybe you should start telling your friends, like, you know, I really appreciate the offer. I'm in school and on a limited budget, so I'd love to come to your wedding but not be in it. Honey, I just think that eventually when you're in everyone's wedding, your friends are going to be able to tease you that you're in everyone else's wedding and you're never walking down the aisle yourself. You're going to be, I'm really scared that you're going to be the 27 dresses girl."
Hey, but she finds true love.
What? Like,
with a journalist.
Right, and he's cute. He was shorter than her, but whatever.
That's okay.
How did you respond to that?
I don't even think I wrote her back.
She responded by posting it on Facebook and saying her mom's crazy.
Your mom, that is her. She's trying to care for you in the only way she knows how, but the way it comes out is like, "Oh gosh, Mom, please stop."
Yeah, I don't know if that's care or if it's just absolutely absurdities, you know, like, you are insane.
Well, because she doesn't wait for a response. She doesn't even care about your response. She says it and then moves on to the next thing. And so,
well, like, right. She'll be like, "Hi, Meg, it's Mom. What are you doing?" And I'll start talking, and she's like, "I'm in Long Beach. I'm on the road. Oh, Mom, I'm doing this. Well, you know, honey, when I was 27, I had 2 kids. Oh, okay, Mom. Well, I guess, like, my homework doesn't matter then." Like, okay.
"Say hi to the dogs."
Yeah, right. "Oh, like, Lucy just misses you so much." And I'm like, "Mom, those dogs don't know me. I don't like them. They don't know me." And I'm like, so I turn into this like 15-year-old girl that's like, shut up.
Would you ever consider bringing your mom on the show, on the podcast?
Oh, not in a million years.
Okay, but would it make for an entertaining show?
Oh my gosh, if she talked about me the whole time and she like, talks said in a Minnesotan accent, insane things. So my mom talks. The woman had lived in Louisiana for 7 years, and that's literally all she's ever lived out of California. And she sounds like she is from Minnesota, Toyota, or however she says it. It's like what's their O's? The O, ooh, what is it?
In Minnesota. It's
Toyota. Toyota. Yeah. And I'm like, where'd you come from? And recently she sent me, I told my grandma one night, "Oh, I'm kind of tired. Like, you know, I'm just like been working a lot and whatever." My grandma, for whatever reason, told my mom that I was tired. And then my mom sends me a mess, leaves me a voicemail. Can I play it?
Well, sure.
It's short.
Okay.
Oh, dang, my phone's in the car. Anyways, right. I'll repeat it. She says, "Hi, Megan, it's Mom. Listen, Nanny told me last night that you were tired. A few suggestions. Maybe you can tell your employer that you can't work on Monday night so that you can get to bed early and go to school at USC by 10 a.m. the next morning. Also, I'm talking to Sharon Hauslog because both of her kids go to USC, and we're going to see if maybe she has a room that you could spend the night one night a week so you don't have to keep making the drive. Just a few suggestions. We just need to come to an agreement and figure this out together." I'm thinking, does this woman know that I'm 26 years old?
She loves you.
Oh, Christian, be her son. or her daughter for that matter.
Your mom loves you.
Yeah, so that would be my bit on SNL. I would have to like really work it out and like figure out how to be two people at once, like my reaction and my mother. But yeah, I think
that'd be a great sketch where
I think so.
You step back and forth between like a wall or something and you're on the phone, but you keep
Pat's always wanted to make like a video about it, so maybe someday.
Your mom loves you though.
Oh, I'm sure. Thank you.
Yeah. We're gonna co-author a book.
Hey, is your mom's not rejecting you, right?
Could she, please?
This is the one rejection that she does want.
Yeah, I would really love some rejection.
So now, Megan, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Always fun to have you. And we will always keep you in mind when we think about improv. But is there anything, Megan, that's coming up that you know that you're excited about other than improv? Or this is the one thing that we need an update on in 4 months?
Yeah, well, I graduate May 17th.
All right.
So I will have my master's degree, and that will be exciting.
So maybe come back after Groundlings takes off and after graduation, and we'll get another update.
Yeah, that'd be great. And we'll see what I'm doing. I'm going to Italy for a couple weeks this summer.
Okay. Oh, that's fun.
I'm going to Switzerland and France too.
Okay.
While I'm at it.
Wow.
And I'm trying to figure out where to go next. You know, with Groundlings, it's kind of hard to figure out, okay, so what jobs do I pursue? Like, do I pursue a job? I'm writing professionally right now for a company.
That's what you told us last time.
Yeah, I'm doing freelance, and I actually moved on from that company to another company, and I'm making more money and doing that. It's like less work but more money kind of thing, one of those awesome sorts of things that you always want, you dream of. And so I'm doing that, and I'm just figuring out, like, do I want to be in LA? Like, I wish Groundlings was in Fresno because I would prefer to be around the people here and do that. But LA's all right, you know, if you like love to be lonely and whatever. So it's cool.
I think I'd be into LA.
Yeah, you would. Like, you have a wife, so
no,
that's
a
thing.
I think just, yeah.
I'd or be like into it. I could get cats, but I live with my grandma and I'm not even allowed to, like, I don't know.
But you're going to start to, you're going to start on Monday nights to maybe live with these people on the USC campus that your mom's been encouraging you to. Well, you got to, because you've been tired lately.
Yeah. So. You know what? Thank you so much for your concern.
Well, hey, Megan, I appreciate you coming on the show. And
we do too.
I am.
Hey, tell that Kevin
guy. I feel like
guy
I haven't
that, like,
said much.
Yeah, Jane hasn't episode. Said a word.
I just love listening to you. You just make me giggle.
It's great. Yeah. I mean, we all love having you on the show.
Well, and if Kevin would ever show up when I'm here, it'd be great to see him, too. I hope he listens.
He listens.
All right. He listens.
Our new joke on the show is that everybody listens.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a soul that doesn't listen to Spoutcast.
Yeah.
Right, even Jesus listens.
Every week?
Well, and he really does, because he's in this room right now.
Aww. That's right.
Wow.
He's in here.
That's heartwarming.
Right. Well, hey, Megan, thanks for being on, and hopefully we'll get an update post-summer. And we are excited for you for Groundlings.
Thank you.
Keep us in the loop, and... That's it.
No Stay- fear 2013.
No fear. Do what you've always wanted to do and That's don't right. worry about rejection.
This is what Megan is telling everybody. Go online and find an online mingling site and go for it.
Yeah, and definitely do some mingling.
Yeah, an online mingling site.
Isn't there a Christian Mingle?
Yeah, but I've also read I read on the news recently that there was something really bad about Christian Mingle. Oh. A user on there that wasn't great.
Was
so
creepy.
Don't believe everything that you see or hear.
All right, stay tuned for some quick announcements and some more Need to Breathe. All right, we are back. We're going to close out the show here. It's been a long episode.
It's raining. It's raining.
I have absolutely no idea what's going on right now.
You know,
right.
I don't think we do either.
We'll see you guys on Serve Day on the 17th.
And sign up for projects online.
Online.
They're all over.
And come and get a free t-shirt.
Free t-shirt.
9 a.m.
Where at?
8:30 Fresno State.
Oh, we're starting at 9.
Where's the parking lot?
Come at 8:30.
Off Woodrow. Sean Woodrow.
The Peters Building.
The Peters Building parking lot.
This is Spout.
And we're out.